So I'm come from Brazil. Does not slide. So short comment on the relationship between Japan and San Francisco.
We can't really leave it.
During the World War II, it seems that one of the submarine came to Santa Barbara and bombarded something, only with 500 damage, dollar damage. Unfortunate history, but the new connections came up quite recently.
One only has to identify the thing that says play slideshow.
So, let me start by making some small warning. To introduce you a legal conception issue, I want to start from, I mainly focused on CP violation. And my first warning is that there is no clean way of detecting CP violation for the left-hand sector, because the detection like K-long to pi doesn't appear to be possible. If we can do P violation measurement, it would be similar to an ambiguous detection of CP and T violation. But technically, it seems to be very difficult. So we have to deal with the issues which mimic the effect of CP violation, like such as the mud effect or cross-section errors. If we
I'm not leaving.
You can leave. So if you measure cross section in error, new versus new bar, you can create fake CP bar. So that's the issue. So maybe we should think more about it. So. Further consideration will motivate you to the cross-section measurement. So this is the caricature figure to make you understand how we can measure CP violation. If the beam radius is narrow enough, it's just the probability of the appearance versus the probability of anti-influence is enough to pin down value of delta. Assume you know the mass hierarchy is normal, and if you give parameters, you have a dot of some way here. If you vary delta, you have an ellipse. And if the measurement of probability and anti-influence probability is accurate enough, of course you can pinpoint the value of depth. So, however, the effect of delta is tiny, has to be tiny, because effect of delta, cosine or a sine, is suppressed by two small numbers. One is the ratio of Q delta M squared. The other one is the product of angles. That's because in the limit of one of these to goes to zero, the system becomes effectively two-flavor, and there is no CP violation. So CP violating effect in appearance probability is on the order of 10 to the minus Q, so it's tiny. So you need a big experiment. there are some other theoretical issues in drawing the parameter from the measurements, but I don't want to talk about it today. And practically, I think the most crucial the problem is that whether we are going to know cross sections accurately, in particular, the relationship between neutral and anti-neutral. So we are aiming at, roughly speaking, we are aiming at the sensitivity of error of the phase, like a 10 to 20 degree. You don't want to know the precise numbers, and that is not important. Let me skip. So this is one of the very data one figures
which I was given from Walter.
Here.
Here. Okay. So they pointed out. So this is the for example, I will concentrate on T2 hypercase type experiment from now. So let me concentrate on this part of the figure. And this figure says that if the there's no systematic error, the hypercase sensitivity to the delta is very good. This is, by the way, this axis is error of one sigma error of delta, right? So it's very good, comparable to nuclear one. But because of the systematic error, this very good accuracy becomes becomes worse a lot. And they say that the majority, most serious error comes from the ratio of the cross section of the mu e versus mu mu, because it's a muon beam experiment. So near detector, they mostly receive mu neutrino beam. So in near detector, electron neutrino cross section measurement is difficult. That's why they have a big error. So that's why a lot of big system error. So,
what's the bottom axis, the horizontal axis?
So this is the accuracy, the error of uncertainty of angle delta, the phase delta.
In percent?
No, degree. So as I told you, the upper goal is like 5 to 10 degrees, practically.
So if you wanted to test the impact of systematics, you just switch it off one by one, and then you see what the biggest effect is. Mm-hmm. And here was the ratio between electron and muon neutrino cross sections.
You want to go left on that table. So yeah. Why is it degree? I don't get it. No. The uncertainty in degrees.
2 pi is 360 degrees.
Yeah. Oh. So it's the degrees of delta, the uncertainty.
Yeah.
Not the fractional.
No. Not the fractional. Mm-hmm. So, if I look at the T2K data, I thought that cross section measurement would be easy. So it's one of the slides shown by one of the T2K mm-hmm. people. So at near detector, 280 means 280 meter from target. They have a bunch of the data. So this is more than 15,000, 4,000, something like this. So there are a lot of data, and it seems that they are understanding the reaction times, right? So if this is true, it seems that it's easy to measure the cross section.
So in those plots, what's the x-axis? I cannot read.
No, you can't see.
Sorry. It's also very difficult even for me. I believe it's momentum.
It's momentum.
Yeah.
So what is it, the
passing thing?
Or what the scale?
Very good question.
A few hundred MeV.
I believe this is 1 GeV. It's right? 1 GeV. Yeah. The neutrino flux peak is 600 MeV. Stick to scale, okay? But this is not the whole story, because we don't know the individual scattering experiment. We know the flux, but here knowing the flux is non-trivial. Sorry, this is the only figure which I placed for Minos. I looked very hard to find the flux measurement figure in Minos, but I didn't find it. So maybe I'm wrong. Anyhow, so we need cross sections. I mean the flux. So to know the flux, they need experiment, dedicated experiment, like hadron production experiment, which won by the same target. And if you know the hadron momentum distributions, eventually they can compute the neutrino flux. So it's a dedicated experiment called the 61 Shine. at this part is gay. And this data is not quite the replica target, the same target yet.
And it's often also not quite the right energy. So they then have to have a sort of program again to convert the measured energy into the one that's being needed for the neutrino experiment.
Yeah, I think NA61 does not cover all the kinematical windows. Yeah. So they have to also use the 70, mm-hmm. with all the 70s data, Arabi et al, blah, 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 in some yellow reports. So eventually, assuming they know the spectrum, photon spectrum, they can simulate the neutrino flux. Okay, so this is the current status of neutrino flux, new flux. Neutrino flux at near detector. Left panel is, this is mu, this is mu bar, this is mu e, and this is mu bar. So relevant range is this is 1 GeV, so here is the relevant range. So very roughly speaking, neutrino flux error is about 10% right off, and the anti-neutrino error is about 20% right off. Anti-neutrino beam is difficult because it's a bombarding proton, so hyperplasia is more copiously produced. Also, pi minus is absorbed inside the material. So anti-neutrino beam is very difficult. So it's current status, and similar thing at SK. And in SK, ELA is a bit smaller because in near detector, they cannot see a target as a point. So there are some errors, more matter in the OFAR case, error in axis angle and not point right. And it's very complicated job. And if you ask what's the major error for this, it seems that Pio and Keon error, they are kind of very well controlled. And now the dominant one is they say secondary produced nuclear interactions. So it's a very complicated job. But we are doing this. Okay. So, I'm just summarizing the briefly looking at the result AOK. It's a current, new mutual current data. And then they obtain by unfolding everything, flux, blah, 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 flux average cross sections. Okay? And it seems to agree with other measurements performed before. So error level is like this. And here it's about mu e, as raised by Walter and Winter. Although mu e is only 1% of the beam at the J power beam, they have mu e. And their simulation predicts also how much mu e is in the beam. So they can do the measurement. Okay? Unfortunately, so the purple part is the newly charged current interactions, and the red one is the gamma background. It's a low energy the electron, so easy gamma ray mimic the events. So it's a not easy job. And also, statistics is still very poor here. I think it's only 100 or something. Sorry, 315 newly charge current interactions at this moment. And similarly, by unfolding the data set, they say that the process is like this, and it seems to agree with previous measurement, including Galvanel. All right. So, the accuracy I showed you is not enough to address his question. So, I discussed the matter with some of the P2K members. I don't know. I'm not the best person to discuss this, but the impression I got is that they're not so pessimistic about this. And the reason is that in the relevant region, 1 to 1 GeV, their beam is dominated. Their new influx is dominated by muon decay. Okay. So, if so, if they knew, new mu new e correlation is pretty strong in that region. So the estimation done by the paper is maybe a bit too pessimistic. And actually, in one of the paper here, which I think the full paper of the P2K appearance. They plotted the ratio between mu e divided by mu mu, the 3% error. So this is a simulation. It's not a data, but as far as simulation is concerned, they believe that the ratio is, can be under better control. Than
so this is T2K already, right?
This is T2K. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I cannot address LBNE and others.
No, I'm just thinking it's not T2 hyper-K, but it's T2K. Yeah.
It's a T2K. Right. For T2 hyper-K, they will improve near detector, I think.
Right. So, is this quasi-elastic?
It's a quasi-elastic regime.
Yeah. I think so.
It seems pretty good to
it's
me.
It's an appearance paper. Yeah. Sorry, I'm not
doing wrong
what you
thought, as I told you. So what about anti-neutrinos, like the anti-electron neutrinos or anti-muon neutrino ratio? Is it the same or probably much worse?
They are now switching to anti-neutrino mode, but...
But this is a simulation anyway, right?
Yeah, it's a simulation anyway. It's a good question. I don't know the number. I think there is many difficult, right? More difficult. Yeah, that's a good point, yes. At this point, I would like to tell you the kind of current status of the understanding of the beam, cross-section beam properties in this case. And I will give a few comments to, and then pass the ball to our next So this is the question is that if we can separate quasi-elastic versus non-quasi-elastic scattering in a reliable way. If not, we may misunderstood that the quasi-elastic like scattering as quasi-elastic, non-quasi-elastic to quasi-elastic. If it happens, of course, we can to misunderstood that. Sine squared 2 theta 2 3, which governs the depth of the dip as shallow, small. So this happens. This was So information is important between QE and non QE. And very recently I heard that this experiment using argon. Regular GPC in Hermila seems to see experimentally with neutrinos the two nucleon correlations. So this is a 2440 kilogram active body regular GPC, which collected 7,000 charge carrying events. Among 700,000, they have some 30 events, a triple coincidence. So the charge current, so the muon is going out, and two nucleons shows up with almost back-to-back correlations. So which means that because of this topology, this back-to-back and this momentum is above the Fermi sheet. So which means that this shows sees the nucleon correlation inside the nucleus, which is, I think, very interesting. So this shows that the nuclear momentum is about C. Okay, and then if we know that there is a nuclear-nuclear correlation inside nucleus, it affects to many understandings. Nowadays, the experimental simulation essentially assumes the free Fermi as models. But now we start to know experimentally that we have to take into account the nuclear correlations inside nucleus. And from this figure by Fernandez, Martinez, and Benito Meloni, it seems that the Fermi's group model tend to overestimate the cross section, across this figure tells. So we have to start to think about the how we take into account the effect of correlations. And this is also borrowed by someone else, Debbie Howes, who is also borrowed this figure from Zera. The most important issue for CP is that the ratio of the cross-section neutrino versus anti-neutrinos, and this ratio, this is the double ratio, this ratio divided by free Fermi-Mass model varies depending upon the models. So again, we have to think about how to settle, how to increase this divergence. So, yes, as he pointed out correctly, that by using slides, I can learn fast, which may not be good news for you. since I spent 10 minutes in junction, so maybe good for you, right? So, since CP phase effect is small effect, we have to know very precisely the flux and cross sections. And I start to recognize in running, in reading papers, it's not easy work, but it's very important. So we should think about it. And for flux measurement, flux Monte Carlo, reliable flux Monte Carlo, a dedicated experiment is necessary. I don't know what such preparation for NUMI beam. I clearly know, don't know how things are organized. Maybe some of you know better. And currently cross-section error is rather large, and sometimes we place 5% to 10% error for this optimistically, but it's not quite realized at this moment. So clearly, we should do much better. And at least when it's okay, serious effect is going on to improve their flux error. Their flux Monte Carlo still have input only from a thin target data from MA61. And now I think the replica target data was I think start to be released, so they are now trying to implement the replica target data into their simulation. Okay. Yes.
Question. I wonder, you know, if is it possible to measure scattering on electron, for example, to normalize the flux? If you would be able to measure, say, new electron scattering, right, then the cross section is known, so it would be measurement of the flux.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting point.
I think it has discussed so far in the neutrino factories,
yeah.
But I don't know if here the statistics is really good enough, so.
The cross section is known the time.
Minerva is doing something like this, but it's a smaller constraint than constraints from other measurements at OHC.
I thought they were proposing hydrogen and deuterium for that.
I don't know if it is possible to just select out the electron scattered
Bigger.
But the flux, I mean,
well, for Minerva,
the flux is not so a dramatic problem in principle, because both the and far detector measure the same flux, right? So I mean, whatever flux error you have, in principle it cancels. But if you do that, you still have the problem that you need the ratio between electron and muon in the cross sections, because you don't measure them in the near detector, the electron and muon.
Yeah, but cancel, but from near to far, flavor oscillation takes place, so the flavor composition changes.
But this is like an overall normalization.
Overall normalization is fine, but flux dependent
that's a problem.
Flux demands, yeah. Problem demands.
Okay.
So for this experiment, we should know flux.
Yeah.
So my question is, probably should come after the next speaker, but when does take ratios and therefore mean some cancellations, but it's the relative flux and the relative cross sections one needs to know. And so how well does one need to know them to get the delta? I guess this is what was addressed in your paper, Walter.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What was the answer? How well does one need to know relative fluxes and relative cross sections? It depends on the process.
I mean, for this T2-hyper-K example, I don't remember by heart what the numbers were for the default assumptions, but it was of the order of 10%.
Canonical number was 10%.
10%. Yeah. Apparently, they're not known to 10%.
Yeah, simulation, as for the simulation, they assume 3%.
But this is for cross-sections times efficiencies, what we assume there. So if there's an efficiency error, then that would also enter there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, the 10%, I doubt that for antineutrinos you would get better than 10%. That I don't think so.
Yeah. For antineutrinos, everything is much harder. Mm-hmm. And they do not have experience. Now they are learning antineutrinos.
Okay, why don't we move on to the next talk, and then we put the two talks together in our minds.
Thank you. Let's do that. No, the sun.